And we're back. We're here tonight with, we've had great interviews, the last two interviews with Stan Haley and Christine Pillsbury from Monadnock. And I'm really excited to talk to you about our third interviewees. It's two folks here today from WellTrust, and it's Craig Larson, the co-founder of WellTrust, and the chief operating officer, Chris Halstead. So welcome to the show.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. It's great to have you guys here. Your business model and the work that you do is probably not unknown to folks, but maybe they might not know your name. You're well known here in the Southeast, but maybe not in our listening area in the Northeast. So would you tell our listeners a little bit about your company, what you do, and the patients that you serve and the services that you provide?
Yes. So, WellTrust Medical Group, we have three entities underneath it. MailExcel, which is the mail solution for that we have for hormone replacement, proactive health care, virtually anything that keeps men feeling healthy, looking healthy, and primarily with hormone replacement. In addition to that, we lab called Emma Labs, where we are able to do blood spot as a convenience for patients and other people. And we're soon going to be launching FemExcel, which is a female version of MailExcel doing hormone replacement for women age 18 and up.
Great. That's exciting. And from an operational perspective, Chris, how do your services flow out? I know you have in-person visits and you have telehealth visits. How do you balance between the clinics that you have where you're providing those men's health services that Craig just talked about and your telehealth services? How are those balanced between and what's the process?
Sure. So really we try to focus on convenience for our members. So really a lot of our platform is from the convenience of their home with our telehealth services. And then we ship their treatment plans to them in 60-day shipments. So really we try and focus on that.
So patient convenience is a priority for you and making sure that men and soon to be women will be able to reach out and get this hormone replacement. And how do people generally find you? Are they referred to MailExcel from their primary care doctor? What's the typical process?
Believe it or not, we have a significant amount of our members come through us from other members. So a referral is really the largest vehicle for us for new members joining. We also, that's what prompted our FemExcel brand is we've had a lot that have spouses or partners who are wanting to get on the program as well. And then we do pick up a lot through our social media channels. So MailExcel is our predominant driver there. So through Facebook and Instagram, on our social media channels, that's a big vehicle for us as well.
And radio, probably. We'll
There
certainly
you
have
go.
that
That's it.
now. And so, when you are working with your patients and you've got providers and patients all across the country. I know we've talked on many occasions about the fact that you've got providers in as far-flung area as Alaska. When you think about your provider base and the patients that you're taking care of, did you do that strategically so that you could care for patients no matter the time zone that they're in, or was there just the provider availability and what was the driver there?
Yeah, it's a little bit of each there, right? So we have that convenience platform we offer for our providers that we work across all time zones as far as Alaska and Hawaii, but that also benefits a lot of our East Coast patients. So those in New York and Boston area up in New England, they're able, maybe they work a full day and they weren't able to make a trip into to meet with their provider. We're able to offer late evening consults and on nights and weekends for kind of normal daytime for our providers out west. But they're also strategically placed with our clinics. So everywhere from Southern California and Denver to, the sunny state of Florida, but we're in, New York, Vermont, Connecticut, New Jersey, we have providers physically located in those areas as well. So it really benefits our members on the convenience side, but also for our providers to give them that flexibility that they're looking for.
That's great. I didn't realize that you had so many clinics across the country. So you really have expanded your footprint, and you're really coast to coast at this point. From a telehealth perspective, we talk a lot about healthcare and telehealth and try to educate the public around healthcare topics. For the men's health services that you provide, is this part of a wellness program, or do you have a wellness program around that? And is telehealth integrally part of that? I know that, you know, you are part of an online platform, but what's the most important element for you is to do a video visit? And again, I know that's two questions there, but what's the wellness, is this part of a wellness program? And do you do a video visit or audio visit? What's your process?
Yeah, so I mean, at our core, we're a symptoms-based clinic, right? So we're not driven by insurance companies, right? It's really about how the patient feels and what their goals are trying to achieve. So those are prompted with a video consult with their assigned provider. And that provider is specialized in healthy aging, and that's what we focus on. And we do constant assessments every few weeks on how the patient is feeling and what goals they're trying to achieve. And we really try and hone in on a specialized treatment plan just for them. So there's no cookie cutter approach to it. Each have their individual goals they're trying to achieve. And that's what we really look to accomplish with them. So
yeah, that's great. Healthy aging is important for everyone. And you talked a little bit about your thinking about branching into female health as well. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's your plans and anything you can preview here?
Yeah, happy to. You know, treating females is not new to us. We've actually been treating females here at our Charlotte clinic for over 15 years. So Dr. Fatinas, our medical director, really our patient base 50-50 split. But as we've kind of launched through the telehealth side and our FemExcel brand, which is certainly linked on our websites, it's really having a larger offering there. So our providers are all fully trained. Some are actually specialized in women's health. That's their background and study. So there's a lot of crossovers and similarities and just so much demand from our members to be able to offer it to their loved ones and, you know, sisters and parents and so forth.
Yeah,
there's just such a great need for it. So really kind of was a no-brainer for us already having the infrastructure in place and the providers that specialize in this treatment. So,
yeah, it makes complete sense. I think you're right. These treatments that you can provide, you're already caring for women in your patient base. So makes complete sense to add that to your portfolio. Just to remind listeners that you can access MailExcel at MailExcel, that's MaleExcel.com. And then the FemExcel, I'm sure that's FemExcel. So .com. So really easy website to access, providing services to men and women. One of the things that we know in the industry, certainly in telehealth, is we've been working through some of the DEA requirements. So the Department of Drug Enforcement Agency has been working with the telehealth industry during the last few months as the president has defined the end of the public health emergency on May 11th. And that has some far-reaching implications to providers that are out in the field and organizations like yourself who are providing care online, which is not only convenient to the patient, but sometimes creates an equity of care scenario where they may not actually be able to receive this type of care if they didn't receive it online because they don't have these types of specialty providers in their area or within a drivable distance, or maybe even drivable is not even an option for them. So it's not just a convenience of care, it's also ensuring that we have equitable care across the country. But the DEA has just done a new proposed rule because of those changes, which includes the requirement for anyone that has had an online visit or a telehealth visit to see those patients in person. And you just talked within a short period of time, within a 6-month period, essentially, they've allowed for some of these, and in some cases even shorter. We just talked about how your patient base is across the country. Talk about how this has impacted your business and how this would impact your business in the future should this proposed rule stand as it is today. Hopefully, we will see a change, but we only know what it is today. So could you speak a little bit about how this has affected your business and your ability to care for patients, and what you think it will do in the future?
Well, first of all, the current rules that, you know, we're complying with is all telehealth. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, providers should be measured on what the standard of care is. And in our particular solution, a standard of care really doesn't have anything to do with physically meeting the patient. We can do a video call and get the exact same result with a patient as whether we saw them physically or not. So from a business standpoint and a medical standpoint, it's extremely frustrating to be mandated to do something that has absolutely nothing to do with the medical standard of care. If there was a reason to physically see the patient, whether there was a rule or not, the providers would physically want to see that patient or not continue care, one or the other. So it's impacting us and the patient significantly because now we're adding a step of physically just putting eyes on a patient when the technology that's out today with audio video conferencing, the async abilities to constantly keep up with patients and monitor them is actually far superior than our old clinic where we did physically see them one time or maybe multiple times. And so business-wise, it's extremely frustrating. It's going to be detrimental to the patient and detrimental to our company, but you know, the law is the law, so we'll comply with it.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, certainly we've talked even beyond this radio show about the challenges to not just your business, to other businesses. And this affects, for folks that may be listening, this affects folks that are taking scheduled drugs. So anyone that is taking prescriptions for testosterone, as they do at WellTrust and MillExcel, but in addition, all ADHD medication, where we already have shortages around ADHD medication, some other behavioral health medications, which need to be refilled in order for folks to be able to, you know, continue their lives and have that's part of their care plan. As you said, it does nothing to do with the actual clinical need of the patient when you're able to receive all of the data that you need about that patient in order to safely prescribe these drugs. And I think the DEA as an enforcement agency is looking at it from a diversion perspective, but the data doesn't bear that out as well. We haven't seen any more fraud in telehealth than we have in face-to-face visits. And so certainly folks that are bad actors will find a way, regardless of whether or not that's face-to-face or in person. So we'll wait to see what the DEA says in the next week or so about the proposed rule. So hopefully, given some requirement changes that I know many of us in this industry have proposed, hopefully our fingers will be crossed that they have made some changes there. Because right now, we're not too happy with that. So if listeners are listening and you have those same drugs that you're taking today, you can expect that to have an effect. So please contact your legislator today to let them know that you would prefer for the DEA to allow telehealth and scheduled drugs to remain as it has been during the pandemic. So WellTrust and your services that you provide to your patients have been, you know, as you said, across the country. Do you have you've got the plans to expand into women's health and to work in the women's health space, which I think is great. It's super exciting. We'll see how that comes about. And we may interview you again in the future for that. Talk about, are you just in the 50 states? Are you in Canada? Any plans to move beyond domestic market?
We've looked at going outside of the U.S., but quite honestly, the U.S. is a lot of opportunity. This is a market that people are constantly learning the benefits of. Like Chris mentioned, the majority of our patients are referral. And that really just goes to show how, you know, a lot of people just aren't educated on the benefits of hormone replacement and And, you know, it significantly reduces chances of getting age-related diseases. So just having your body, you know, optimized to protect you is extreme opportunity for us in the U.S. And so we'll probably just continue focus in the U.S. for the near future.
No, lots of opportunity there. And that's one reason I'm excited that you're going to be in the women's health space. But certainly we know that hormone replacement is extremely important, as we can find that that has a direct result on cardiac care for women in particular, and other types of illnesses like osteoporosis.
And PCOS is a big one that I know my daughters have benefited from the treatment of hormone replacement, you know, and they started when they were in their 20s. And just seeing how the confidence that young women get back when they get their body working like it's supposed to really is very satisfying, I know, for the providers and me as an executive here at the company.
That's great. I think that's an important story to tell. You've obviously passionate about making sure that your patients and your community are well served by your care that you're providing. And you guys, I know from working with you for so long, are, you know, specialists in this area. So I appreciate you coming on tonight and talking about your the care that you provide, your services, and talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we have in the telehealth industry.
Thank you. We appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. We always want to provide our listeners with helpful information on this show about healthcare and telehealth. Really appreciate your time. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And thanks for our listeners for listening to our show tonight. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with WATD 95.9.